Joel Rollins back on day two of Infocom 14, and I'm sitting here early in the morning with Gary Kay. We've just finished coffee. Gary, thanks for stopping.
Hey, thanks for having me. I guess we're going to do a day one review. Is that our idea?
I think that's the idea. What have you seen?
Well, you know, I had a chance to walk the show floor quite a bit yesterday, and I was super impressed with, first of all, I think kudos out to Jason McGraw and his team. The show floor is full. There's no question they'll set an attendance record for Vegas because there's never been a show floor that's been this packed. So either they narrowed the aisles and we couldn't tell, or there's just a lot more people here. I really think there's a lot more people here.
Well, I didn't see the aisles narrowing, so I think there's an awful lot of people here. I know I brought a lot this time for first time in a couple of years. What is the attendance figure here? What's the record?
You know, I don't know, but I know it's close to 40,000. So, you know, I'll double check that. And by the time we do our podcast tomorrow, I'll give you that number.
So we're closing in on Terry Friesenberg's ISE numbers.
Yeah, we are closing in on ISE. I don't think they'll beat ISE, though. I think ISE is now going to surpass Infocom and just never ever be close, because I think what you're going to find with ISE is more Americans are going to start going over there.
Oh, sure. I mean, A, the location is wonderful, obviously, in Amsterdam, but... But B, I think that the dynamic between Infocom and CEDIA at ISE is the best going. It's my favorite show of the bunch.
Yeah, I agree with you
100%. So what's exciting on the floor?
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough to be involved in the launch of the F50 projector series from Barco, which was impressive. That's their first projector where they actually, the projection design people and the Barco people got together and designed a projector together, as opposed to the Barco people and the projection design people putting their lines together. So this is the result of the first. And it's a very small projector. It comes in four flavors, a CinemaScope, basically, a panoramic resolution projector. All of them are 1080 vertical resolution, but it varies horizontal resolution from 2.35 to 1 aspect ratio all the way to WXGA resolution. So you can, and 1080p resolution. So you can order it in four different flavors. It's 3 to 5,000 ANSI lumens in a very small package, or sorry, 4 to 5,000 ANSI lumens in a small package. So I think that will have an impact on the corporate AV market because it's Barco's got a good brand name, and it kind of puts them down. I mean, I don't want to say that they're lowering, but you know, Barco's known as that big giant projector company that does very large systems, and they've been out of the boardroom conference room training room market. They've been in the big meeting room market with the new series of corporate projectors, but now they'll be put in the small huddle room meeting market.
Yeah, I actually, but from watching you at the launch yesterday, I thought the fifth flavor available was champagne.
Yeah, that was some good champagne. But I was impressed, and we've got a story on it on our website at raypubs.com/infocom14. And so that was one of the things I was impressed with. I think the Christie booth is staggering. I mean, just like every year they seem to have one of the best booths on the show floor. I mean, they do a really good job of breaking their booth into sort of application areas, and the way that they show microtiles, the way they show their video wall technology for that, in this particular one in particular, I don't know how many cameras they have on it, but they have a wall with at least 100 security cameras on it, and the resolution is stunning considering how small the images are. So for command and control center, security monitoring, that kind of stuff. And then of course they have the best looking 4K stuff on the show floor that
Absolutely.
I've seen so far. I mean, and you know, and they also talking 8K.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the funny thing about Christie, and I've been watching their booths at Infocom and ISE the last several years, is they do some really, really tough projection things. Some of them so tough that people who aren't projectionists don't understand how difficult it was to do. Like all of those white prisms that they projected on at ISE.
Yeah.
That is notoriously hard to map to.
Yeah. That image mapping stuff that they do. In fact, did you know they came out with a book on image mapping?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's amazing. The Book of Transformations. They actually have a chapter on how to get into image mapping, which I thought was really neat. So you should go by their booth and check it out. They'll probably give you a copy of it. You can go to christiedigital.com, and you can actually download it as a PDF, or if you have an iPad, you can download an iPad version of it, which is interactive, includes videos of image mapping. Did you happen to go by the Stuart booth and see the 90-inch seamless screen, or 90-foot seamless screen?
No, I haven't seen Stuart yet. They're on my list for today. So they have a 90-foot seamless?
Yeah, 90-foot seamless. 90-foot seamless. I'd love to see the room they made that in.
Yeah, I don't even imagine how they made the substrate for it.
Yeah, 90-foot seamless screen. So they're promoting the fact that they can do custom sizes up to 90 feet. So they're showing a 90-foot seamless
screen. That's been Stuart forever. If you really wanted a high-end custom screen, you wanted to go to Stuart.
Yep. And there's a, just as a little side note, I think that there's a company that's not here that everybody's wondering when they're going to come back to Infocom, Extron. It's stealing a little bit of Infocom thunder. Simultaneous to the show going on here, they've been launching a couple of products during the show. And they also announced a lawsuit yesterday. They're suing Crestron for copying their cable retractor system. We have that story on our website at ravepubs.com. But I think it's interesting how they're sort of stealing a little bit. And people are talking about it on the show floor two ways. I mean, people do want to see Extron back here at the show. But also, you know, there is a little bit of a buzz going on about this lawsuit. You know, and it's a patent infringement suit, basically.
Sure. On the cable retractor, right?
Right, the cable retractor. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know all the details, and neither company's totally commented. Like, Crestron hasn't commented at all. Extron finally commented to us yesterday, and we posted that reply on our website at ravepubs.com. By the way, did you go to the Microsoft booth?
I will actually be doing a live remote from the Microsoft space today.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to call a booth because it isn't a booth. It is a space.
Right.
It's, I don't know, 9 tables.
Yeah,
and that's it.
And mostly empty. I had a long talk with Jim Smith. Polycom obviously is a partner, and had a long talk with him yesterday about Link and Microsoft's appearance here. Apparently, there was product that was going to come that didn't, and they decided to put tables in the booth at the last minute and allow partners to use them. But you know, as great as it has been, and as much of a feather in a cap as it's been for Jason and the crew to get Microsoft
here. Yeah, it's unfortunate for them.
It is unfortunate for them, and that Microsoft didn't. And, you know, but Microsoft is a long-term company.
Yeah.
So, we'll see them back at the show, and, you know, I'm sure they'll have things to show. But it is fairly stunning. People are coming by the desk here at the podcast that say, have you seen Microsoft?
Yeah.
Are they here?
But speaking of seeing, have you seen any codecs on the show floor? The video conferencing codec has disappeared from
it's
the show floor.
It's
literally every manufacturer, even the biggies, the Ciscos and the Polycoms of the world, aren't even showing codecs really in their booth. They each have maybe one or two,
right?
But they're all promoting, you know, basically
cloud-based
video conferencing. I think that it's interesting how that's come full circle.
The PBX has pretty much vanished into the cloud now. I mean, other than the very largest systems, and that's, I think, what's going to happen with a lot of video conferencing. And you know, I look at it, and at home in our offices, we have a VCS, so that all of our, you know, we all carry MacBooks, we're all 1080, so we can all video conference from wherever we are. And that availability of essentially the codec being out there in the cloud that you can use it wherever you are is one of the strongest appeals of video conferencing today, I think. What have you seen that's unusual?
You know, I'm not sure I could comment yet on unusual because I haven't had a chance to truly walk the entire floor. But there's some cool new technology out there. I think that'd be worth doing a podcast specifically on something like that. I mean, I think there are some unusual things that people have already seen, like curved displays. I'm not sure, you know, if that's really going to catch on.
I don't get that. I really don't.
So I think that's one thing.
Is that the new 3D?
I mean, they are 3D, but is it the new 3D as in
it's
going to disappear?
As in it will come, they'll all show it like it's a craze and then it will go away.
Yeah, I mean, like hanging that on the wall, it's got to stick out. And,
yeah.
You know, it looks funny and I don't know. I don't know. I'm just not, I don't know. Maybe I'm too old. I don't know. Maybe I just can't appreciate it.
I don't get the curved display of what was essentially to start with a flat media.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it sells, then, you know, more power to them. I think that one of the things that I have been most amazed by here at the show, too, is the level of new attendance. I don't think I've seen this many people looking glassy-eyed at an Infocom in a long time.
I think a lot of it is coming from end users, and I don't mean like tire-kicking end users. There are some high-end end users here, like the AV and IT directors of Fortune 5000 companies, higher education. And I don't know what the end-user attendance is, but I remember back in the day when I was on the Infocom board, 10 years ago, we were questioning whether or not we wanted end users at all, and it was in the range of 4 or 5, maybe 6% back then. It's got to be in the range of 25-30% now.
Has to be. I talked to more people, especially from universities yesterday, than I think I've ever seen here before.
And I think a lot of companies wouldn't exhibit if the end-user attendance wasn't going up because, for example, Mitsubishi, I did an interview yesterday with Mitsubishi. They don't really care about the integrator in the sense that they already have all their integrators. They already have a relationship. They have a very limited product line. They're aiming it at a very limited category. Like they, in their case, they're not selling, you know, flat panel displays for everybody. They're selling flat panel displays specifically for video wall applications, specifically to oil and gas and utility applications. So that's very, so they want to see a bit, bunch of end users coming from that segment of the market, and they want to do, they basically want to do a pull through rather than a push through, right? They're not pushing their new stuff to the integrator. They're pulling it from the end user to demand it from the integrator. So they told me yesterday when I interviewed them that they wouldn't be here at the show if end user attendance wasn't increasing.
Right. Well, I mean, end user demand is everything for a lot of those applications. You know, I think a lot of times, especially in a new technology, dealers get involved when their customers demand it. So, right. So that makes a lot of sense. The other thing that I'm seeing here is more and more our industry driven by demand that comes out of consumer electronics and products that come out of consumer electronics. I mean, yeah. A lot of displays have gone that way. I'm seeing more in terms of what I would call prosumer level gear than I've ever seen before.
Yeah, I think that's what the reason why 4K is going to be big in our market is because 4K is going to be big in the consumer market.
Yeah.
And we are only a year away, maybe a year and a half, away from there being one production line for televisions, meaning that there isn't going to be a commercial production line and a consumer production line. They're going to be made on the same line. So what's going to happen is that consumer TV is going to be the same as a pro TV, and therefore further commoditization, which means that our industry has to get into more services. And there are a couple of companies on the show floor that are really pushing that. Almo has a digital signage content creation group now. Christie's purchase of Arsenal Media is a great example of that. Vizix has a content creation service. A lot of manufacturers are getting into helping the integrators create content and resell it so that they'll charge you per hour per project. You can white label it and you can charge whatever you want to your customer. I think it's a great idea until the integrators figure out how to do it themselves.
Right. I mean, and there's a lot of the digital signage. I mean, if you've looked at digitalsignage.com, right?
Yep.
I mean, they literally are pushing the idea of white label all our hardware and software and start your own service.
Yeah, and in fact, you and I will do a podcast later on, I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, on how to get into digital signage content creation.
I definitely want, yeah.
I think that
will be a great talk for those of you who are listening. And by the way, just wanted to get in a plug, too, as we're talking about the organizations that are delivering digital signage. We are sponsored this week by Starin, and want to say thank you to Bill Mullen at Starin. Gary, I think that we're going to have a couple of interesting things to take a look at today there.
Yeah, so that's the stuff I saw on day one, and I'll definitely tell you. I mean, Starin, by the way, speaking of Starin, their booth, the Wow Vision product, which you probably know this, but Kramer bought 50% of that company.
Yes.
And so now all of a sudden Kramer's in the wireless, you know, huddle room, meeting room market. And Starin basically brought them to the U.S. I think Bill deserves some credit there. That product is ready for prime time. I mean, for 2 years I've loved that product, but I've always thought it was too expensive and too complicated to use. Now, the user interface is awesome. The price point is much better in the $2,000, $3,000 range. And so now you're going to see it, you know, alongside of like Barco ClickShare, Christy Brio, Crestron Air Media, and those other kind of products like that. I think you'll see that becomes a company that people start paying attention to. And I think Kramer got into that at the right time. So now the question is, when will, you know, AMX with the Enzo go to the next level?
Right.
And when will a company like Extron? Once Extron gets into that segment of the market, boom, rubber stamp for that to be huge growth. Now, Barco did give me a statistic yesterday. They told me that they've sold over 25,000 Barco ClickShare units.
I have several of them myself.
So 25, but that 25,000 is a lot. That's,
yeah, it is.
That is a number that really surprised
very
me.
Very large number for our industry, without a doubt, for a single product. So, okay, we've got ClickShare, we've got Christy Brio. Back at ISE, you and I had a long talk about ClickShare and the wireless systems. Who else is here with a new wireless system that you've seen?
Well, I mean, ClearOne has a system that's the wire. I mean, there's a lot of companies that are actually getting into that segment of the market in different ways. Harman has a wireless system. I mean, there's a lot of companies that are sort of dabbling into it, but still you have the big four or five that we've talked about. I haven't had a chance to really evaluate the ClearOne product line. I just saw the press release on it, read about it. So you're going to have to give me a couple of days to give you a comment on that.
Yeah, you got it. I'm going to go by today and take when I looked at Brio at ISE, there were some things that were still to come. So I'm going to stop by today.
They're shipping now, so you'll actually see the product.
But
I got to run.
Okay. listen, I got to run too, and we'll be doing a lot of live remote stuff from the show today. So folks out there, stay tuned, and Gary and I will be back.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.